tonight I would like to explore some of these themes again together. And in a way, we are always, in a way, kind of, I think, circling around and going maybe a little bit into one direction and then again revisiting things. So I'm trusting that actually the things that I'm talking are not completely new and maybe also somehow sensed already in your being or tasted or something about that makes sense. And I'm also hoping that there's perhaps something new to understand, or it's phrased in a different way, and then it can meet something in our being, in our heart and mind. So this week we have been taking this time to explore the sense of self, how it's arising and how it's constructed from moment to moment. And we've been exploring this through various different practices, so really possibly met through the practices, various different senses of self, some little more dense and contracted and with more sense of layers and narrative, and some much, much less fabricated, and bringing different kinds of experiences of self and possibly also different kinds of openings and understanding and freedom. So through the practices, we maybe have started to notice how this identification with our experience when we make things to be me and mine, and this reactivity, this grasping, so identification is an art of grasping, and also this aversion, how they actually build the sense of self. So how this clinging, this grasping and aversion, this identification, they are movements of clinging, how they build and create and fabricate the sense of self. And I will open this during this talk. And we have been practicing in ways that play with the possibility of releasing this clinging and possibility of inviting more letting go, even for a moment. So, and perhaps through these practices, we have momentarily released a little bit of the identification and maybe notice that some ease, some softening, and some sense of the self maybe feeling less solid, less pronounced, or somehow melting away, fading away, maybe not completely. I think not completely, that would be a lot. I will come back to that. But some to some degree softening and melting away. And this is actually a big thing to see experientially in our practice and to understand its implication, what it actually teaches us about the fabrication of experience, fabrication of perception, and the conditionality, and also the central role of clinging as something that builds and fabricates the experience. So when we have practiced these ways that open the clinging, that soften the clinging, we have perhaps seen that the mind fabricates a little less experience of self. So something can feel that, okay, something is softening. Maybe there's a sense that there's some unpleasantness and it's getting a little less unpleasant. or some sense of suffering is easing a little bit, softening a little bit, or the sense of some sensation in our experience might be fading a little bit, or even a whole experience could fade away, melt away from our experience. So somehow this sense of self and also the sense of phenomena in our experience are softening when we let go, when we release the clinging through different ways as we've been doing during the week. And I have heard many, many of you expressing something like this in the groups, that you have been entertaining this relationship to the experience with less identification, and then you've noticed that this kind of fading has been happening. And it's important to actually start to see this mechanism of clinging and identification, the movements of grasping and aversion, and how it builds the experience, and how through letting go, opening, softening, releasing this clinging, releasing the identification, less sense of self and phenomena are built, less is fabricated. And someone said that they, for example, noticed that when they were, even just with the simple practice of mindfulness, if you have a sense that there are lots of thinking happening, there are lots of thoughts in your experience, and oftentimes we have this subtle aversion toward thinking. Maybe you know this from your meditation practice, that there's a sense that somehow the thinking shouldn't be happening. That it's so lovely if it got more silent and if the thinking pacified. But the even the step of just starting to see the thoughts as thoughts might already actually make a little difference. So when I start to, instead of fully identifying with my thoughts, I start to see them, oh, it's just thinking happening. There's already a degree of letting go, degree of ease, actually, and often degree of actually somehow the thinking mind pacifying to some degree, or it becoming less of a problem. So there's less suffering in our experience. And the same could be happening also when we fully allow the thinking to happen. So really release even the most subtle sense of aversion and pushing away, trying to get rid of, and we fully allow the thinking, we could actually see that something calm, something soften, something melts away. And I've heard many people say that, oh, there was suddenly no thinking happening. It was there all the time, and then suddenly there was no thinking mind bothering anymore. And when I was thinking about this talk, I also remembered one experience from the past, long, long, long time ago. I was going into a meeting, and I was feeling so anxious. I was really feeling so anxious, so nervous about the meeting. And I was using all my meditative skills, which were very skillful in many ways, like holding this, you know, compassionately and grounding. Let me ground a lot so I will feel less anxious, and let me breathe in this way and soften and open so I will feel less anxious. And all of these can be, you know, I remember I was even thinking, let me be a little more humorous and it will be. And these can be really skillful ways of meeting and relating to the experience. But what was problematic there was the hidden aversion. So there was this hidden wish, which is very human, that the anxious anxiety and this being anxious didn't feel good. So I wanted to get rid of that. So I was using all my skills until I came to the point where I felt like, could I be more anxious? No, would it be possible actually to be more anxious? And that made the difference. So I was actually inviting my body, mind, heart to feel even more anxiety. I don't know if this makes sense. Does it make sense? But actually, it's like counterintuitive. But then, you know, there was nothing more I could do. So it kind of came into the mind. And that it didn't maybe disappear completely, but it changed the experience for me. So this deep, complete allowing, this letting go of this aversive relationship and the clinging. So it's important to see actually this on a more kind of gross level and also on more subtle levels, this kind of mechanism of how the clinging is building the experience and how this letting go is actually unbuilding, fabricating less experience. And to start to understand this. And if there's even, you know, momentarily a lot of letting go in our experience, we can see that momentarily mind can actually fabricate significantly less experience, so less sense of self and less phenomena. And we could actually end up experiencing very different kind of sense of self, and we could have these jhanic experiences that have been mentioned. So this deep meditative state, it's very beautiful, nourishing states of citta, heart and mind, and they are deep states of absorption of meditation that come from a lot of letting go. So they are in this spectrum of we can let go a little, and when we let go a lot, it can enable and make possible for something like that to happen. And it's like even momentarily we would pull away this clinging like this, that maintains this experience. I would pull away the clinging that maintains the experience, and something can collapse, fade away, melt away from my experience, and sometimes a lot. Does it make sense? And these experiences are really valuable to see experientially in our practice, and especially to understand this mechanism, so how things are fabricated and how this letting go of clinging leads into fabricating less, and starting to understand this conditionality and the fabrication and dependent arising of experience. And that's something actually that starts to impact our heart and mind. Because if we think that, what does it really mean about the self or phenomena if things can fade? How can they fade? Can they exist independently if they can fade? If I'm relating in a different way to them, so if I'm entertaining this relationship of less clinging and the experience can fade, can it really exist independently? So it can really impact the heart and mind, and it can start to feel that somehow the sense of self and the phenomena are somehow less real or less independently and separately existing. And we start to see how the mind is participating in this constructing, and how our ways of relating, how our ways of looking, and these different kinds of perspectives that we are entertaining in our practice actually shape and construct, and even in a way that things can be unfabricated, undone, they can fade away. And this sense of having this belief in this separate self, and taking the self and the phenomena, the things of the world to be real, it belongs to this fundamental delusion called avijja, fundamental delusion. And if I'm not like deliberately entertaining this way of looking, that most likely I will actually see this self as existing, and also the phenomena of world and others as well as existing. So perceiving everything as separate and real and independently existing. And we can start to actually, through our practice, explore the things in the light of this teaching, this understanding. I also remember one moment. It's long time ago. Maybe, I don't know, 16 years ago or sometime that around that time. I was in a monastery in Thailand. And I remember I went every day to my teacher, and I was complaining. It was a long retreat. I was maybe still had many weeks or a whole month or something. I went to my teacher and I was complaining how bored I am. I don't know if this has ever happened to you on the retreat. I kept on going. I went and I said, oh, I feel such boredom. I feel so bored. So I felt really this kind of bored sense of self arising, like, and I felt that there was a really this seamless continuity of being bored from 1 hour to another hour to the next day. It seemed to color all my experience, and there was lots of aversion as well. And I remember my teacher, what she actually did, she made me to explore where in my experience I can find this bored self. So where can I find it? Where's the bored self? And where is the boredom? So where in this heart, mind, body is anything that I can call boredom? Or where is the bored self? And it was actually quite a transforming and very revealing and very freeing exploration for me. And I don't know how long it took, one day or what it took. But then I didn't have to struggle with the boredom anymore. But I also didn't find the bored self. I also didn't find the boredom. But it was really this sense of how the mind was building this sense of self, this bored self, and sense of this out of these sensations, and this how I was making meaning, this sense of boredom. So it's actually quite freeing to be able to look at the things from these different perspectives, that we can explore our experience, we can really question, and we can look and experientially find these things. And it can bring understanding, and it can bring this kind of exploration can bring a lot of freedom and ease. And it's actually quite valuable to have some access to less fabricating perspectives. So I'm not now talking about experience, but that we can look with these less fabricating lenses, so these perspectives, how can I look or relate to my experience in ways that possibly can invite more letting go and ease. And it can, if we have a lot of letting go, they can really bring us in touch with these less fabricated states, even these jhanic experiences. And this, Kirsten has already mentioned this, the practice of samadhi, and you talked about jhanas a little bit, and they are very deeply beautiful and nourishing experiences for the citta, for the heart and mind. They are deeply healing, they are beautiful, they are the kind of happinesses that, and they are born out of meditation, so not through a sense contact. So it's not like I'm eating chocolate cake and it's lovely, but it's actually coming from the meditation, and it's lovelier than hot chocolate cake. Yeah, I was surprised on my retreat because I like chocolate cake very much. So this was first time I remember. It was very surprising to me. So I'm actually not going to speak so much about how to practically approach this this samadhi, but just to name this possibility that there's an avenue, there's a path of practice that can actually teach us experientially to understand the fabrication of perception. And actually, I think this insight into this fabrication of experience is the most beautiful fruit of these jhanas, of this very deeply beautiful, better than chocolate cake state of heart and mind. So this insight into fabrication, I feel, is even more freeing than the state, which are lovely. And we can experientially really see that there are these different experiences of self. When we enter the jhanas, what starts to happen is actually the mind is pacifying, and it doesn't fabricate hindrances anymore. So can you imagine a mind that's not fabricating this wanting and not wanting and restlessness and sleepiness and doubt? So it's not fabricating this difficult gang of five anymore. So already there's a different kind of sense of self arising. Mind without these hindrances, or at least they have pacified to such degree that it's very different kind of mind. And what starts to happen is actually in our experience starts to arise this well-being, this pleasure that comes from meditation, from these hindrances subsiding and coming from meditation, comes this beautiful well-being that's not dependent on senses. And this starts to bring us in touch with a very different sense of self. So we start to possibly have a sense of, we have been talking about this spectrum of sense of self, so from the more dense sense of self with hindrances and more personality and narrative and what happened in my life, into much, much, much less fabricated sense of self. So we we all know this mind full of hindrances when we are, for example, angry, and then there's a real sense of this self, and then there's a sense of other, and lots of layers to that. And I think we also all know this, we could take, for example, mindfulness, when we practice mindfulness, and there's a degree of shaving off, so shaving off the suffering, there's a degree of lessening of identification, and pacifying of this sense of self and also the suffering with it. But then there's still oftentimes a sense of me and you and phenomena, isn't it? In mindfulness practice, there's oftentimes still some sense of that. And then we've been practicing other ways of looking. For example, we could think about metta, like what kind of sense of self or senses of self, experiences of self we might have met through the practice of metta. And that might be actually even fabricating less, shaving off more from the sense of self. And there are other senses of self, like experience through this anatta, this not me and mine, for example. And when we practice with a lot of spaciousness, a lot of allowing. But in these jhanas, there's really this kind of a pacification happening. So the sense of self that we usually know starts to fade away. And what happens is that the first hindrances are subsiding, and then the sense of self and also the sense of persona, like my me and my story, starts to subside, and then the thinking mind starts to subside. So there's no thinking that actually maintains and builds and creates also this sense of self, and then also even the sense of the body starts to subside, and then there is a sense of this heart mind body as first as pleasantness, and then there is the kind of a happiness, and then there is peacefulness, there is stillness. Then there is the sense of materiality also fades away. So then there's no sense of body. There's just this spaciousness, which also falls away. So sense of spaciousness also falls away. And then there's a sense of nothingness. There's nothingness. And then there's the simplest kind of sense of subject and object, awareness and object in our experience. And it's a spectrum. It's a spectrum of different kinds of senses of self. And all the way there is any kind of experience, there's a sense of self. So if we think about getting rid of sense of self, maybe it's not the project to go for, but more the kind of, like we have been talking, really understanding this sense of self and understanding the fabrication and having this freedom to play with different perspectives and entertain different ways of looking. And it can be really transformative, and it can really change our relationship with this sense of self and bring lightness and liberating understanding. And we can start to actually see this and understand this fabrication, even if we didn't experience like the eight jhana, the last, you know, meditative absorption. So we can even much, much earlier through our own experience start to understand this, because even the gross level of fading is important. Even that with the thinking is important to see and to understand this, you know, these implications like this and mechanism of clinging and building and letting go and fading. Does this make sense? So we can have these different senses of self, and it can be really, really freeing. I remember also, like I think maybe 15 years ago or 16 years ago, I was just talking 2 days ago with Kirsten about our life experiences. And I told Kirsten at that time I was really, really going through a very, very difficult time. There was a lot of illness. I was having insomnia for 2 years, really, really bad insomnia. So I would not sleep at all. And there was the body, mind, heart, everything was kind of impacted. And I was having a lot of worry, and the sense of self was very kind of entangled with these worries and not a lot of hope for the future. And I actually ended into a place where I just hit the wall. I could not work. I had really burning out and getting ill and really facing these difficulties every day. So it was really, there was this experience and this sense of self and the narrative, and it was really kind of fully lived in my reality, you know, so it felt. But what was also there was my meditation practice. So in my meditation practice, what started to happen and what was radically changing and transforming for me, it didn't make me right away sleep well. That's not what I'm saying. But actually, I was starting to see this radically different sense of self. So I was experiencing this sense of self, which didn't have this narrative, which didn't have this sense of being ill and the sense of a wounded self with the difficulties. And it didn't have even the sense of this painful mind and thinking and painful body. So there was these experiences that were deeply healing for me and deeply made a difference in that moment. And I even now have a lot of compassion with this sense of self who was suffering a lot that time. I really have the compassion. It was very difficult. And I'm also not saying that I never have insomnia nowadays. I still, it's a conditioning that can arise under certain conditions and circumstances. But it was really, really painful. But what was radical for me was to see this very different experience of sense of self, where the whole illness, it felt that it didn't exist. This illness that I was feeling in this mind and heart, this body, did not reach there. It did not exist. It did, the whole things did not make sense there. So that was, and to find something else beautiful, this peacefulness, happiness, peacefulness, stillness, where it made a real difference for me. And the Buddha said about the jhanas that these are perception attainments, but not because there's more, something more there, but actually because there's less fabricated in these jhanas. And I think that the big gift is really this, like our personal experience into the fabrication. And I want to repeat it, we can have it before we experience the deepest states and much, much earlier we can have with the teaching and with really noticing these mechanisms in our practice and how things are happening and fabricated and so on. If we have this kind of exploration, sense of curiosity and exploration and looking deeply, and with some teachings, we can also already start to have a sense of much, much earlier. I will read a passage from Rob's book. Actually, it's not. I have the passage from Rob's book, Seeing That Freeze, and I translated it into Finnish. So, dear Rob, I'm sorry, I was poorly translated back into English. I didn't find where it was. I have the book with me. So, no phenomena whatsoever exists independent from the way of looking. It exists like this or like that, depending on the way of looking, and it exists at all depending on the way of looking. It doesn't construct as a phenomenal thing if there's not a way of looking that's constructing or fabricating it into a thing. If you remember my boredom, for example, later on, when I was looking for it, it did not construct into boredom, which I had been constructing for many days. And I was... yes, yeah. But was the translation okay?
You can also read it in Finnish, and then people who speak Finnish and English
It doesn't speak Finnish.
Yeah, no, but you could...
Oh, for both, yeah. Yes, yeah. Okay.
Both.
Yeah. So I will firstly read it for you in English and then in Finnish. So no phenomena exists independent from the way of looking. It exists like this or like that, depending on the way of looking. And it exists at all, depending on the way of looking. It will not fabricate into phenomena unless there's a way of looking that fabricates it into a thing, into something. So, mikään ilmiö ei ole olemassa itsenäisesti riippumatta näkemisen tavasta. Se on olemassa niin tai näin riippuen näkemisen tavasta, ja se on ylipäänsä olemassa riippuen näkemisen tavasta. Se ei rakennu ilmiöksi, jollei näkemisen tapa rakenna sitä ilmiöksi.
Sounds great.
The Finnish one. Isn't it cute? So, very often, I think this is also something we have been talking about, but very often I hear the question like, which sense of self or phenomena is real, or which one is not, or which degree of letting go shows the real thing? And we have been talking about this, that actually this is not the right question to ask. Not the right question to ask. That all these possible different experiences of self or experiences of world, these parallel ones or vertical ones or however we want to perceive them, are as real or unreal. They are as fabricated. Also the jhanas are fabricated. So they are also conditioned and dependently arising experiences. So all of that, the whole spectrum, it's true for the whole spectrum. And this can actually touch our mind and heart, and it can actually affect our relationship with the self and the phenomena, the world. That nothing exists independently. And it can really deeply also support letting go. Even if we will, and this will happen, we will again land into the perspectives that feel that, yes, things are existing independently, that there is the self, especially if we have this flexibility and this possibility of returning into different kinds of perspectives. We have this malleability and this creativity in our playing with experience and perception. And then maybe more important can be things like what do I really want to practice? What do I want to cultivate? What do I want to nourish? What leads toward more love? What leads toward more freedom, more compassion? What's beautiful? What's meaningful? What's soulful even? What's poetic? And we can play with these different ways of looking. I always remember of always returning to this. We can play with the different ways of looking. And entertain these different ways of looking, different senses of self, and allowing us the creativity to move in this spectrum, creativity in our life, in our expression, in entertaining different possibilities, and in having room for playing and hopefully also some delightful lightness that actually can come in the relationship to ourselves and phenomena of the world. And the more deeply we start to see this through our experience, the more we will be able to creatively play. Yeah, that becomes very, very possible for us. And it's something that I think many of you might have tasted. So it's maybe not something that is like, you know, far out there, but just to have said that maybe some of this actually is something that I have, you know, even I have seen just glimpses of it. But those little glimpses are also important to see. Oh, I think I will end here with my chaotic notes.